You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here, the Sports Rabbi Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the North Naranaria, down South Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. Of course, you can find us Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we are there. Check us out on social media, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Of course, lots of articles about Maccabi Tel Aviv advancing to the quarterfinals, where they will face Panathinaikos after a 113-85 victory over Baskonia in the play-in this past Tuesday night. So tons of articles, analysis up there as well. Another podcast with Ben Pask breaking down what went right for the yellow and blue in the blowout victory. Lots of stuff about Denny Avdia. Denny Avdia returned to the Holy Land, and you can read an article also on sportsrabbi.com with all of his quotes. What did he say when he landed in Israel? What did he say before he left? He left the United States before he started on his summer vacation, which I'm sure he would have liked to have had been a little bit shorter than what's going to be. Let's talk all about Denny Avdia, Washington Wizards. For being on board, my good friend, of course, covers Denny Avdia for us in Washington, D.C. over the last 4 years. It is none other than Neil Dalal. And, of course, we got to see Neil Dalal in person, up close and personal. We broke bread at the Char Bar in Washington, D.C., and then we went off to the Wizards-Bucks game, a game that the Wizards won and still ended up finishing in pretty much tied for last place. So that was good news all around. I got to see Giannis Antetokounmpo and got to see Denny Avdia with arguably one of his better games of the season. He definitely had a good year. Neil got to see it pretty much all season long. Neil, how you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Josh.
So, Neil, Denny Avdia, successful year. I mean, you know, if you look at the stats, the numbers go from 9 points up to 14, almost 15 points a game. Rebounds go from 6 to 7. His percentage, 3-point shooting percentage, goes up from 29 to 36, 37. You see the right graph. He signs a very good team-friendly contract, in mid-season or a little before mid-season, actually. So he's locked up for the next number of years with the Wizards, unless they decide to, part ways with him. But it's clear that Denny Avdia had a very, very good season and is going the right direction for the Washington Wizards. At least we know that at least one player is after this disastrous season, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, they signed him to the 4-year, $55 million extension just before the season. You know, this was, you know, his first full off season that he was healthy going into an NBA season. You know, we've talked at length about that on the site. You know, first year COVID pandemic year, second year he, you know, had his fibular fracture. Then, you know, he had the groin injury playing for the national team. Finally, he had a full year to, you know, enjoy some time off, but then also, you know, put a lot of work into the lab. Obviously, that paid high dividends on his 3-point shooting percentage, you know, where he was, I think, you know, just sub 30%. In year three, but then now up to, you know, nearly 38% in the year four that he just completed. You know, his skill set, you know, is absolutely the epitome of what you need in the NBA today. You know, a two-way defender, somebody who can, you know, also play make on the other end of the court. So, you know, pretty much every single aspect of his game, you know, took a step up this past season. And, you know, obviously amazing to see for Wizards fans, for, you know, fans back home. And like he said, you know, multiple times, and we'll get into, you know, this is just the start. He wants to just keep leveling up more and more and more, you know, as his should be lengthy NBA career continues.
You know, Neil, you look at the draft year that he was in, and it was an interesting draft. You had obviously Anthony Edwards, who's the star of the draft. There's no question. He is the draft king from the season. He is a superstar, and he obviously goes at the top. You look at the rest of the draft, of course. James Wiseman's not going to pan out, probably. LaMelo Ball. The jury's still out. He's a great player, but he's going to be injured. Patrick Williams always seems to be hurt. Isaac Okoro, eh. Onyeka Okongwu, eh. Killian Hayes was released by the Pistons. Nobody picked him up. Obi Toppin on his second team. There was rumors that he may even join the Israel national team. They found out one of his grandparents is Jewish. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? Then Denny goes. Galen Smith, eh. Devin Vassell, okay, decent player. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton's the other star in that draft. Then if you go down, Tyrese Maxey is going to be up there. A few other players are serviceable. Peyton Pritchard, Emmanuel Quickley, obviously a very good player as well. You look at the draft now, I mean, they did a good job in the draft picks with Tommy Shepard. Ultimately, did he make the wrong pick by not taking Tyrese Halliburton? Well, a lot of teams didn't take Tyrese Halliburton and got a lot worse than what Denny Avdia is giving you right now.
Right.
If you look back at the draft, what do you say to yourself right now?
Yeah, obviously, as you just mentioned, a lot of people, came at Tommy Shepard, for, the hindsight 2020 that, Tyrese Halliburton is, a potential star in the making, didn't have the greatest second half of the season, after, a pretty amazing, first few years in the league and, first half of the season. But, Tommy Shepard is, somewhere enjoying, his nice salary that's still getting paid out by, Monumental Sports. And he's saying, well, look, Rui Hachimura, not a bad pick. Denny Avdia, not a bad pick. Corey Kispert, not a bad pick. Obviously, the one that did him in was
John
Johnny
Davis.
Davis. But, if you go back into that draft class and, knowing everything you know now, Denny Avdia probably goes higher in a redraft than ninth overall. Obviously, they're quite a few handful of players that you listed, 1 through 11 before Halliburton at 12 that, very much so-so, probably not going to be, even average starters in today's game, if even rotation players. So certainly, Denny's ceiling is, still to be seen. And it's very easy to say that, he's a, top 8+, if not even better, player from that draft class. Definitely some of the guys you mentioned later, Quickley, Maxey, those are guys that would definitely be taken a lot higher up. But nothing wrong with, what Denny has shown so far. And again, going into another, knock on wood, full healthy off season, it'll be even more exciting to see what he can add to his game as he continues to evolve.
Right, Neil, you look at Denny Avdia. I think this is the Denny Avdia that we in Israel envision seeing, a guy that could be a part of the team, not sitting in a corner playing 3 and D, but a guy that can get the ball, can go to the basket, is now using his left hand a hell of a lot better than he did in previous seasons. Shooting is better. He obviously knows how to get better. We saw that over the summer. It's clear that he was very smart in the way that he spent his summer, and that it paid off extremely well for him. Is this the Denny Avdia that you had envisioned 4 years ago when they drafted him?
Yeah, obviously you guys have, been up close and personal with him for a long time now. And, certainly, that kind of playmaking kind of role on the offensive end, not just, being stuck in the corner and, defenses kind of just helping off of him because, at that time he didn't have the same gravity effect on defenders that, he's starting to get a little bit more respect with now. Certainly going forward, my guess is, Tyus Jones, even though he might say that he would like to return, probably isn't going to be back. Might be a sign and trade situation with him. But when you put a Denny Avdia next to a Jordan Poole, those two guys can probably be your two, primary ball handlers potentially, going into next year. The thing that really set the Wizards back the first half of this past season was, having a backcourt of Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole is just going to get, absolutely eaten up defensively.
Right.
You then say, okay, instead, have Jordan Poole be the primary ball handler, have Denny be the secondary ball handler. Defenses can't, necessarily, take advantage at that same level. And so, they're still going to have Poole, on, one of the lesser threatening offensive players defensively. But, you just get more size and more defense on that end with those being your ball handlers. And, that's kind of the Oklahoma City Thunder model, having length and size,
right.
That both Will Dawkins and Michael Winger are coming from,
exactly.
Both being disciples of Sam Presti. So I think certainly, and Denny's a guy who's hungry for more. Every time people are saying, oh, are you satisfied with the year? And he was like, yeah, somewhat, but I still want to get better defensively. He said he still wants to, be a better off-ball defender. Part of that is his communication. He said he wants to, obviously get better with ball handling as well, if the ball is going to be in his hands more, which, they were experimenting with towards the end of the season.
Right.
He's improved his left hand, but still, a lot of work to go there still, because NBA defenses are going to come back and, have a better scouting report on him going into next year. It still seems that his right hand drives are, sometimes still not defendable, even though they should know that he's going that way,
right.
95% of the time. But, as the assistant coach, Zach Guthrie, who worked, most closely with him this past season after Pat Delaney left for Toronto, if you're going right and they're not stopping it, keep going with it.
Right.
Eventually NBA defenses are going to catch up, and he's going to need to, have some counters for that, primarily with his left hand. So a lot of, things to like about his game, this past season. And, I'm just more excited to see how he takes it to the next level going into year five.
Of course, we're on here with Neil Dalal talking about Denny Avdia's season, wrapping it up year four in the NBA. Neil, you look at Denny Avdia this season, you look at the Wizards, they, 15 wins, bottom basement of the league, basically. They have a good chance of getting the number one pick. Unfortunately, it's really not a clear-cut draft this season.
Right.
What do you think the Wizards are going to be looking for? Like, do you think they're actually hoping they don't get the number one pick, that they end up in two or three, so they don't have to make that first pick? Because there's some players out there, right? There are some players, but it's still very unclear. There's definitely some players that played in Australia this year. It's Carr, in Europe as well, if it's Topic, and of course also in America itself. I mean, what do you think the brass is looking at going into this draft, and where do you think they will try to find a player? And what are they looking for? Are they looking for forward? Are they looking for a point guard? Are they looking? They're going to look for the best player. Where do you think they are going for at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're very much looking for best player available. I think they would be more than fine with getting the number one overall pick. I don't think they're scared to miss on the top guy, that they potentially get saved by if they draft second, third, or fourth.
Right.
Unfortunately for them, like you said, it's not the 2025 or 2026 draft classes where you have a Cooper Flag or
right.
The Carlos Boozer twins,
right.
That are clear-cut
top players, right?
Right. So certainly, if they were told, oh, well, if you get the third overall pick this year, you have a better chance of getting the first overall pick next year. All right, they would take that in a heartbeat. But
right.
That's not how the NBA draft lottery is set up. Is quite a bit anti-tanking at this point. They'll only have a 40% chance of getting a top three pick, and then almost a 60% chance of getting picks 4 through 6 in this year's draft. So I don't think they care too much about where they end up landing. They're going to try and take the best pick available. I think, to me, a guy like Alex Saar, if he's available, at 1, 2, or 3, wherever they end up drafting, that we'll find out come lottery day, which I believe is mid-May. I think that's a guy who has a lot of upside to develop into a very good athletic big man.
Right.
Obviously, they traded Daniel Gafford, for a first round pick, but it'll be in the late 20s first round pick. But so that's obviously a hole for them to fill. Marvin Bagley was a nice addition, but probably is not going to align with the timeline of this overall rebuild. So, to me, center is, definitely a big potential hole that they can fill, but they're very much going to go best pick available. A lot of people were calling for, point guards, earlier in the season when, Jordan Poole was, struggling mightily, but I think the last couple months of the season where, they more or less just rested Tyus Jones for his forthcoming free agency, it showed that, okay, maybe Jordan Poole with the ball in his hands is, something that can, be of potential going into next year. So I'm sure if there is a point guard at the top of their board that they couldn't refuse to pass on, they would certainly take him, but I wouldn't call it, as high of a need as we, might have thought it would have been, say 2+ months ago.
Right.
But it will certainly be interesting. Like you said, there's no clear generational talent in this year's draft, which, is unfortunate with them having the second worst record in the NBA. But, they're still going to try and do their best to, find a player who has, the most upside. Just look at the logic and, them selecting Bilal Coulibaly. They're not in it for short-term reward. They're absolutely just trying to, nail the pick to get the highest ceiling player that there is.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the Thunder as, as a litmus test as to what the Wizards are going to do, you see players that took really time to develop over there. And if it's Lu Dort, they, they bring Shea in on a trade. People don't remember that he was with the Clippers, right? And it's one of those, you think about Shea, you don't think of him at all as a LA Clipper. You think of him as a Thunder player, but he's, 25 right now. A lot of the players there are developing as the years have gone by. I think they're probably a little bit ahead of schedule. If they use the model of the Thunder, it's still going to be a good 3 years minimum before they're going to be sniffing the playoffs.
For sure.
Can a team like Washington with a fan base accept that? Or they're going to just have to accept that I guess Denny Avdia understood that I would think he understood that when he signed the contract extension, that this is, a long-term process. I think he sees it, if you read his quotes or you hear him, I guess he understands that, the key is going to be trying to get better. Where do you see this timeline? But it's going to be a deep timeline. And how does Danny fit into that timeline? Or does he fit perfectly into it?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, this is, not going to be, another 1 year and they're back to contending. I think minimum 2 more years of, a lot of losses for the next 2 seasons, because the big thing is they want to make sure that the first round pick, owed to Houston, which then I guess got redirected to the New York Knicks, in the John Wall, Russell Westbrook trade. They want to make sure that that doesn't convey. And I believe it's 2026 where it eventually just becomes 2 second-round picks, which, is a lot more, tenable to a franchise to give up than, all the mightily valuable first round picks. That at absolute minimum, they probably have 2 more years of being, top five, most losses in the NBA, high lottery pick. And then, that brings you to, entering the 2026-27 season, which would be, kind of the last, still a couple more years on Denny's contract at that point.
And he's only going to be about 26, which is crazy.
For sure.
He hasn't even, that 26 is not even entering his prime.
Yeah, and that's definitely the beauty of locking up a, young talent like that, where, he has the potential to still, be in the time frame, that the Wizards want. Can they make a trade for, their own Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Can they attract somebody in free agency, if they're starting to put together, the remnants of a, very strong, young, talented lineup where they just kind of need, a superstar to, feel good about DC and, come through. That's what's kind of plagued the Wizards for, years and years and years, probably if not decades,
right?
That they've, kind of missed on the free agency market, despite, being a, you would think, top 10, city NBA market.
For sure.
In the NBA. So a lot of time that's still gonna, go by. I thought it was interesting that Denny said, it should hopefully be faster than what people think. Time flies, but you know, it's going to be a long couple more years for Wizards fans. And my hope is that, you know, they would be understandable and say, hey, look, this was a rebuild that was long overdue and long needed. And, you know, it's better than being in the, you know, purgatory state that they middled in for in about four plus seasons after the 2016-2017 season that, you know, was pretty magical. But it's going to, you know, be taking lumps for, you know, a couple more years. And, you know, this year you don't necessarily have the draft class to feel all excited about. A couple years after that, you should be able to, you know, feel some hype around that. But like you said, it's probably, you know, at the earliest going into the 26-27 season that they're going to be able to contend for the playoffs. And, you know, Michael Winger said this before the season even started this past year, you know, in late September, you know, they're not going to take short-term reward. They're going to try and build the, you know, smoothest and cleanest path forward for them to be able to contend. And, you know, until that road is perfectly, you know, smooth and in front, you know, then they're going to hit the gas pedal. They're not going to hit it early. They're not going to try and, you know, accelerate things too quickly. So it's going to be a while, but, you know, the hope is that, you know, 3-4 years from now, you know, they've developed something into a sustainable contender year after year after year after, you know, kind of just band-aid approaching, trying to, you know, squeak into playoff, you know, probably for the past, you know, 4 years before this season.
Of course, we're on here, Neil Dalal, Josh Hoffman, Sports Rabbi, wrapping up Denny Avdia's season. How much credit goes to Brian Keefe for Denny's, you know, for Denny's maturation process this season? You know, I guess Wes Unseld Jr. started the campaign as the head coach. Just it didn't seem that he was really the man for the job. I think that was fairly clear also last year. A lot of criticism. Finally, management did make a change. Seems that Keith brought in some fresh air into the team, into the squad, into the locker room. How much credit does he get for Denny's Denny's involvement here?
Yeah, you know, certainly some. I think, as you said, you know, the team performed better. You know, once Keith took over, you know, I think that was late January-ish that they, you know, unofficially, you know, moved Wes Unseld Jr. to the front office. But essentially, you know, to me, I think Denny was, you know, one of the guys who is doing his job, you know, before the change was even made. Mm-hmm. You know, for people like Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole, you know, I think you could see a shift in, you know, positive development for them, you know, more clearly with Keith taking over. To me, I think Avdia had put his head down and said, look, this is the player I want to be. This is my responsibilities. This is my role. And, you know, he was working very closely with, you know, Zach Guthrie to, you know, start accomplishing those things. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think, you know, certainly Keith helped lift, you know, the entire mood of the team because, you know, they were just getting run out of gyms, you know, under Wes Unseld Jr. and, right, you know, some of the lack of adjustments there. But I wouldn't say, you know, he necessarily was, you know, the reason that Denny took, you know, the massive jump that he did, mm-hmm. you know, in the second half of the season. I think it's obviously a combination of, you know, several other things. Keith deserves, you know, a small part, and we'll certainly see, you know, they have a coaching search to, you know, get underway that I'm sure they've already started to scope out, you know, what it's going to be like. I think, you know, Brian Keefe is obviously somebody who had prior relationships with this front office of Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, you know, back at Oklahoma City. You know, a guy like Kevin Durant, you know, has sung his praises as a player development guru that, you know, the Wizards are most interested in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not necessarily interested in, you know, racking up the victories these next 2 years. So Keith will definitely, you know, be part of the equation for this upcoming coaching search. And, you know, I don't think he did anything to clearly win the job, you know, in his interim tenure, but, you know, certainly earned enough to, you know, get a fair shake in this upcoming search.
And what do you think is going to happen? Are they going to keep him, or, you know, is there a name that has been bandied about that you think would be a better option, an option that they may feel is a better option?
Yeah. So, you know, there are some other teams that also have vacancies that are kind of getting a head start on some of the process, potentially beating the Wizards to the gun. I think, you know, there's no favorite, I would say, right now. And if you were to ask for a favorite, it probably would be Keith. Just because of his, history, with the front office and, the, good praises that the team did, sing for him, once he took over this year. So that would be my guess is, they give him, maybe a 3-year deal, potentially the last year, being a team option. And then, they're going to kind of reevaluate, okay, once they're ready to contend, is he still the guy for the job or potentially are you looking for, somebody else?
Neil, a most improved player, NBA this season. Where do you think Denny Avdia lands up in that vote? We saw Bill Simmons, of course, of the Ringer, putting Denny Avdia at number two. Do you think that is where he belongs? And if you look at the NBA as a whole, as to who's the most improved, and there were some players that didn't make that cut because they were just under the. I think the minutes, but if we Dante DiVincenzo, for example, should be in the conversation also. Kobe White, where do you see Denny in that conversation?
Yeah, certainly, it's nice to see him getting some of the love from, some of the national people, that you would think typically might not be tuning into, Wizards games. He certainly is very deserving of that attention. I don't think he necessarily, gets a sniff of the top three of the award because still generally, I doubt many national people out of, say the 100-ish writers, that vote, are watching a lot of NBA games. And truly appreciating the small nuances of his game that aren't just scoring. So it's probably not going to be him in the final ballot of three that I believe they announce. If they did announce more, where it's like top five, like MVP, maybe you start to see him get some votes like that. But certainly he had his biggest improvement jump of his NBA career and maybe next year he'll take another equal, if not larger, step and really be able to make some noise for most improved player for 2025.
What do you think personally was his biggest improvement of all the different things that you saw him this season? Where you had to put your finger on one thing that you said, wow, that's a place that he really, really worked on and he really got better. What would that place be?
I would say certainly just his aggression, driving to the rim. He's a big body guy. He is a strong body guy. He started to play, to the 6'9" frame that he is. And, seeing him just be able to take contact, absorb contact, not get deterred by it, because at the end of the day, you're playing for a lottery, team. You're not going to be getting the benefit of a lot of whistles from NBA refs, but he took that on and was still able to, be very effective and powerful with his, drives and finishes at the rim. Still probably gives the referees a little bit too many side eyes to my liking, but he's cut down on that a little bit. And I just want him to see to continue to see him, be strong and powerful in how he attacks the basket.
Where do you think he's going to make the biggest improvement next season? If you had to, if you're Denny Avdia and you're around him this summer and you say, I want to work on what? What is he going to be specifically working on?
Yeah, to me, I think, I'm sure his coaches, internally as well as the Wizards coaches would be telling him, hey man, sound to work on that left hand. Amazing right hand driver, that's great and that's fine and that's well and that's done him very well to get to this point so far. But this is the NBA and teams are gonna just fully start shutting you off on your right side and force you in to prove out that yes, okay, I can keep you honest by going left. So to me, last year he put a, big emphasis on his 3-point shooting. This year, I'm sure he'll continue to work on that, his 3-point shooting, but his left hand is something that I think you have to, put the most attention, effort, and time into improving this offseason.
Before we let you go here, Neil, the $64 million question: will Denny Avdia one day lead the Washington Wizards to a successful playoff run?
Yeah, why not? Let's be optimistic. 2026, 27, he's going to be top three player on this team and They're going to play well in the regular season, catch some people by surprise, maybe similar-ish to how, Oklahoma City really, ran the table this regular season, maybe potentially a year earlier than some people might have thought, and for years to come, hopefully, right? Because he'll be due another contract, soon enough in 4 years, hopefully towards the end of, this rebuild, and he'll hopefully be getting a contract number that's, well north of, the $55 million that he just got this past, off season, in September, October. So yeah, let's say why not? Denny Avdia, along with, Bilal Coulibaly, we'll see if Corey Kispert is still around, at that point. And, I'm sure there's gonna be one more big guy that they need to draft, and, hopefully one more big name that they're able to attract in a trade or in free agency to really round out, what is a roster that will still be, very different, 2 years from now than what it sits at right now, with, presumably the only guys who are not even a lock, because nothing's a lock in the NBA anymore, but, Bilal Coulibaly and Denny Avdia might be the only two guys, from this present roster that are still on this Wizards team and in the organization, 2 years from now.
And I lied. I have one more question. So, if I may, will
Of course.
Denny Avdia one day, at some point in his career, get onto an all-star team?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And what, even if it's a one-off, even if
Sure.
it's a one-off.
Yeah, so let's say that, maybe he's an injury replacement for somebody at some point in time. I think
Right.
just unfortunately for all-star games and all-star selections, they don't give, the same glory to a two-way player,
For
as
sure.
a flashy scorer. There are only so many Kawhi Leonards in the world. Certainly Denny Avdia could, develop into, that kind of caliber of a two-way player. That's obviously a very lofty ceiling. But,
That's quite
even if,
the headline there, Neil.
but certainly, he would have to approach that territory of how good of a two-way player he would have to be to, really start garnering some of that all-star potential, because at the
Right.
end of the day, only 12 guys in a conference, and, 90% of those
Very
guys are,
tough.
offensive heavy kind of players. And, Denny's not necessarily, a scoring bucket. He's able to, fill in and do some really good things on the offensive end, but it's not, just the purely, James Harden-esque scoring that, is what really gets you onto the most all-star
Right,
games.
of course. I think he has, injury replacement, fifth down, sixth down on the list, maybe 1 year down the road, like somewhere down the road. But I think, Neil, there's a room for optimism here. The Wizards are not going to be good for the next couple of years, but Danny Avdia certainly, if he continues this upward trend, is going to be a joy for us to watch here at 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m. in the morning, as we do so often, and for many Israelis and fans. Coming into Washington to see him play, is always a pleasure, and it's always fun. And I think the one thing that I got to see from him when I was there is it's the same Denny, that was the 15, 16, 17-year-old as he is now. He's still a good kid. I don't think that the fame and the glory and the finances, really make a big difference to him. I think he legitimately is just a guy that wants to put his head down, work hard, and be the best version of Denny Avdia that he can be, Neil.
Absolutely. And that's, great to see, and hopefully that continues for, several years to come.
Where can people find you, Neil, on Twitter or X or whatever they call it these
Yeah, certainly on X, I still call it Twitter, at
days?
Neil Dalal 96.
Of course, me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver it to you on both. Neil, this is a lot of fun, and we'll hopefully catch up with you at some point, maybe later on in the summer. We'll see what's going on with Danny, or maybe perhaps as the year begins. And I know you're not officially, running around to every single game that the Wizards are playing, but I know that you have your finger on the pulse and that you know exactly what is going on behind the scenes and on the court for the Washington Wizards and Denny Avdia, and love to continue the partnership that we've had over the years. Neil Dalal, an honor and a pleasure to have you on board, and we'll speak to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Josh.